Hello, this is Pastor Rock Dilliman with this week's installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. If you've been taking part in these studies, you know that some weeks our reading assignment contains no direct references to the Holy Spirit. In those instances, we look for His activity through types and symbolism. But today, and this week, is not one of those times. This week's readings include several direct references to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at three of them, one from the book of Exodus, one from the book of 2 Corinthians, one from the book of Hebrews. The first from the book of Exodus is associated with a man named Bezalel. And we read about him in Exodus 31, and there we learned that God had filled him with the Spirit, and as a result of his Spirit filling, he not only had wisdom and understanding, but he was a craftsman. Specifically, we learned that he was a metalworker, a jeweler, a woodworker, an engraver, a designer, an embroiderer, a weaver, and that he performed every inventive or artistic creative work. Now, we know that our God is a creative genius, the foremost creator in the universe. So it should come as no surprise that where the Holy Spirit is at work, He spawns creativity, at least in some of His people. And I want to stress that because I sense that many times when we think about the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, we tend to think of things like evangelism, prophecies, words of knowledge, miracles of healings, and so on. And indeed, the Holy Spirit empowers all those very important activities. But many times we don't think of artistry as being another avenue through which the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ and empowers believer. But the story of Bezalel reminds us that sometimes the gifting of the Holy Spirit is in the area of craftsmanship and artistry. Bezalel was going to be used by God in the construction of the tabernacle. He was going to be used for the first on-earth dwelling of the Lord. The first on-earth dwelling of the Lord. Interestingly enough, he was from the tribe of Judah. And the next on-earth dwelling place of the Lord would be planned by someone from the tribe of Judah, King David, and then constructed by his son from the tribe of Judah, Solomon. But I want to stress two things. First, whenever you think about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, always include the arts, the trades, and craftsmanship. Those are giftings from the Spirit of God. The gifts aren't limited to proclamation through word. The gifts aren't limited to miraculous events. The gifts are also manifested in the arts and in craftsmanship. And one of the takeaways I want to suggest is that the Holy Spirit is involved in God's building projects. When God was going to erect a place on earth where He would manifest His presence, the Holy Spirit empowered people for the construction of that place. In similar fashion, today, we know that God doesn't dwell in houses constructed by human hands. God dwells in his people. The message of the New Testament is that we are the temple of God, that the temple of God is made up of living stones, and we are those living stones. So who is responsible for building us up as those in whom God dwells? That is the Holy Spirit's responsibility. He is building you into an appropriate place for God to dwell. So, our first passage from the Old Testament reminds us the Holy Spirit gives gifts in the area of the arts and craftsmanship. And secondly, that the Holy Spirit is always involved in the building of God's dwelling places. Now, our second area, we see the Holy Spirit as a liberator. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the 17th verse, we read that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's one of the more familiar references to the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, several things I want to unpack from those statements. First of all, the Lord is the Spirit affirms once again the reality of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one, but yet three. So when you deal with the Holy Spirit, you are dealing with God. We read elsewhere in the New Testament that when you lie to the Holy Spirit, you have lied to God. So we have a reaffirmation of the Trinity, a teaching and a reality that many of the cults strongly deny. But the main thing I want to draw your attention is that statement, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That needs to have some content, or otherwise it's just one of those warm, fuzzy statements. It sounds good, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But what does it mean? What does it actually mean? Well, reading that chapter, reading that statement in context, we know Paul makes it clear that many of his Jewish brothers and sisters were hard in their hearts towards Messiah Jesus. They were blind to his identity. They refused to accept him as Messiah. As a result, they were left in religious and spiritual bondage because they were trying to relate to God and please God and know God by observing the old covenant system with sacrifices and feast days and so on. But we know that all of those things were signposts that pointed to Jesus. And the clear testimony of the New Testament is that once Jesus arrived and through his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension accomplished the work of God, those signposts were no longer needed. Those were symbols of what Christ was going to do. Once Christ came and did those things, those symbols were no longer needed. And they lost all of their potency. They lost all of their effect. So when Paul's Jewish brothers and sisters rejected Jesus as Messiah, they were left with a defunct religious system that had no potency, had no power. The old covenant system was like the booster rocket on a space launch. Its job was to set the stage for the main space vessel to accomplish its mission, and then it falls away. Well, the old covenant system has fallen away. It set the stage for Christ. Now Christ has come. So those who rejected Messiah were attempting the impossible. They were trying to relate to God through a system that was no longer in play, no longer in effect. That put them in religious bondage. And I say bondage because despite all of their fervent activity to keep the law, to keep the old covenant system, it didn't bring them to Jesus. So they were left with legalism. They were left with ceremony that had no potency, and that produced guilt. It produced shame. It made for uptight, angry people. It left them in bondage. In contrast, those who listen to the testimony of the Spirit, and as we've already noticed in previous studies, the task of the Holy Spirit is to draw men to Christ and convince men that Jesus is Messiah. Those who embrace and believe the testimony of the Holy Spirit move into liberty. They move out of the bondage of man-made religion and move into the freedom of a relationship with Christ. So the immediate context, Paul was saying to his countrymen, if you try to stay with a defunct system, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be in bondage. If you embrace Jesus as Messiah and the Holy Spirit's been shouting to you, this is Him, this is it, you'll move into the liberty God intended for you. So spiritual liberty is always produced by the work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Scripture tells us that we can't come to Jesus unless the Spirit draws us. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then, once we come to faith, Romans 8 tells us it's the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. So, how does He liberate us? By pointing out our bondage, pointing out Jesus, the answer for our bondage, drawing us to Jesus, giving us the faith to believe, regenerating our spirits, and then affirming to us, you are indeed in Christ. You don't need to worry about your standing with God anymore. So, Exodus, the Holy Spirit builds the dwelling place of God, and He does that in you and me. 2 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit liberates us from the bondage of bogus religion and systems of spirituality that do not work. Third, this is going to sound strange. The Holy Spirit is our crucifier. Doesn't sound very attractive, does it? Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that it was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus offered Himself on the cross. Through the Holy Spirit. That means in ways you and I cannot understand and God has not divulged, the Holy Spirit was essential in the crucifixion of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit enabled Jesus in His crucifixion. Now again, that should come as no surprise because we saw at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, His public ministry, after His baptism, that the Spirit came upon Him, the Spirit immediately led Him into the wilderness to be tempted, and from that point forward, Jesus made it clear, everything I do in response to the Spirit's leading. We're told He cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I say what I'm told to say. I do what I'm told to do. Jesus' entire ministry was Spirit-led, and His ministry included the cross. So in some fashion, which God does not divulge, the Holy Spirit helped Jesus carry out the event we know as the crucifixion. Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem. Why? Because the Holy Spirit said, now's the time. Jesus allowed Himself to be arrested. Why? Because the Holy Spirit obviously was saying, don't use your power to liberate yourself. Let them take you. This is all part of the plan. But it was through the Spirit that He offered up Himself. Now, what does that have to do with you and with me? What does Romans 12 say to us? We are to present ourselves as living sacrifices acceptable unto God. That means we have to die to our own will so that we can embrace the perfect will of God. We have to die to reliance upon ourselves so that we can walk in reliance upon the Holy Spirit. And who helps us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, die to our pride and self-sufficiency so that we can walk in the will and the ways of God? The Holy Spirit helps us. Romans 8:13 says, it's by the Spirit that you and I put to death the deeds of the body. Do you see the parallel? It was by the Spirit that Jesus offered himself. It's by the Holy Spirit that you and I offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Somebody put it this way. God calls us to take up our cross and die to ourselves, to our own ways. That's something we have to do. But once we take up our cross, the Holy Spirit tells us where to put it down and when to get up on it. The Holy Spirit orchestrates our daily dying to self. The Holy Spirit is the one who says, now I know you would like to have the final word here, but that's indicative of something in you that needs to die. There's still some pride in there that needs to die. So I'm instructing you to walk away. Are you correct in this? Yes, you actually are correct, but there's something more at stake than you having the last word in this argument. At stake is your dying to self so that you can know my liberty. And so the Holy Spirit walks alongside of us saying, when you're wronged, give blessing. When someone sins against you, forgive. When someone is angry with you, don't return anger for anger. When a slight has been done toward you, don't allow root of bitterness in your heart. When your enemy speaks ill of you, do something good for him. When your wife gets on your nerves, love her. When your husband is failing, pray for him rather than chastising him. I think you get the picture. How do we die to self? How do we translate that from a nice, warm, fuzzy into a reality? We listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, there's something that needs to die. Here's what I want you to do. There's something that needs to die. Here's what I want you to do. Just as the Holy Spirit led Jesus in his crucifixion, the Holy Spirit leads you in our daily dying to self. So the last two manifestations of the Holy Spirit are really connected. When we embrace the Holy Spirit's message, we're liberated. And then the Holy Spirit leads us to die to the things that get in the way of our full liberation. That's why I'd like to say in closing, something that I know I'll say again from time to time in this series, the Holy Spirit is your best friend because he only has your best interests at heart. You have a great week as you follow him in your life.